Good morning, everyone. This is Brandon Hagen with the Iowa Healthcare Association, joined today with our representatives from Iowa Total Care. Today is June 9th, 2021, and we will get started the same way we always do by looking at any DHS informational updates that have occurred within the last month. And upon review, there haven't been any informational letters that have been released at this point that would be pertaining to this audience. So we do not have any informational letters that have come out for you all in the last month. I'm going to turn it over to Iowa Total Care if they'd like to make any opening remarks before we go into some of our pre-submitted questions. So Jeannie, I will turn it over to you and your team.
All right, sounds great. Thanks so much, Brandon. Appreciate the opportunity. I just shared in the chat the link to our provider resources. We recently have updated our provider manual and our provider billing manual for your now viewing pleasure. So we have that out there for your reference. So, and that is the only updates I have. So we can jump into the questions if you'd like, Brandon.
That would be great. Thanks, Jeannie.
Certainly.
So the first question that I had submitted by a provider, it's a nursing facility related question. This all surrounds rate changes. This provider has received some recoupment letters asking for funds back from the January 2021 rate change. She'd noticed that when those rate change letters had come through, the overpayment amount was being determined using an older client participation, which those amounts usually change on 1/21 as well at the beginning of the year. So if claims are reprocessed for rate change only, will they also reprocess for the CP change? And why wouldn't they both be done at the same time, I guess, is the question. So we're trying to avoid some, you know, a rate change reprocess and then a future CP reprocess. Just curious how that all flows for you all.
Yes, and this is Hillary from Iowa Total Care. We do look at both of those at the same time. The issue that I think you guys see sometimes is that sometimes there's a recovery and a payment due in the same within the same claim, depending on if you're billing on separate claim lines. And that kind of thing. So in those cases, the recoveries and the pay projects have to be broken out separately because we're required to give that 60-day notice with time for you guys to dispute on the recovery projects. So the pay part of the claim would process probably first, and then recovery would happen later in the event that you didn't dispute and we didn't find a discrepancy. So we do review for both at the same time. And I think all of you know we have a CP configuration that shouldn't impact you guys too much that just went in, but it's more impacting some of the hospice providers and when their CP changes, so it will have an impact there. We were delayed on that a little bit because of some testing errors, but that is going in tomorrow, actually. So we will be pulling projects and reviewing for both underpayments, incorrect denials, as well as overpayments. So if there's an overpayment, you'll of course get the recovery letter again. But CP is now set up to come out completely automatically. So it will actually, we're going to run everything through the test system and be able to identify those claims where there's underpayments as well as overpayments. So hopefully it will be the last time we have to touch any of those claims. There are retro CP changes, so that's the only caveat. But we do review for both at the same time, as well as incorrect denials. So
thanks,
there will be a project as well soon for any claims we find when we're reviewing the CP claims. So just
awesome.
A heads up.
I think, and I'm kind of reading the chat as we go throughout this, it's looking like the claims when they initially process probably process at a incorrect rate, but the CP was in there correctly. And then when the letters went out, they were recalculating the rate, which I think they should have done. And used old CP amounts. So it's kind of like mixing, it's fixing one thing, but creating a problem on the other. That's what it sounds like. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah. And previously it was a manual review process. Now, because we have everything updated for retro CP changes as well as rate changes, the system will be able to identify those and let us know which one needs a recovery versus a pay project, and we can get those submitted so that we don't have those problems going forward. So I think it's definitely a positive fix. We're looking forward to not having to touch these claims again, and I'm sure you all are as well. But I think the new CP configuration or the updates will help us quite a bit in that not happening, because it will auto apply the payment and the client participation amounts.
So for providers who received letters that are saying they need to update or they need to change to the rates, but the provider, once reading the letter, notices that this client participation that's being used is wrong, do they need to dispute all those rate changes because the CP is wrong?
So if it's a recovery letter, you definitely need to dispute it, because that stops the project and allows us to review those claims. And we actually review those here at the health plan. So we'll be able to identify those within the disputes. Usually you can, if there's several claims, you can dispute all of them with one dispute, and it'll stop the project from processing so that we don't have any recoupments go out before those are reviewed, because we have to clear all those up before they'll actually release anything for recoupment. So if you are seeing that, I would highly recommend disputing and following the process in the letter, so that way we can stop those claims and review and make sure that it's accurate and correct before any recoupment happens, and pull claims out of the project if we need to.
With those recoupment letters, is there typically a project number or anything like that that's assigned to those, or is it all provider specific?
There is a project number that's assigned, and it shows up on the letter with the recoveries.
Okay. So I guess what I would maybe say, since it sounds like there's several different providers who are having this same issue, if you could send me that project number that you're having an issue with, because it sounds like there's several people who are having problems with the same project, possibly. If there's a way to maybe identify that for you, Hillary, to show that this did pull the wrong CP amounts for this entire project, possibly. It may be something that you could look into, I guess, and reevaluate the project, possibly. Is that an option?
Yeah, definitely. Yep. As long as it hasn't already processed for recovery, we could stop it. If it has, we'll pick it up in this review, and we'll be able to pay the difference back, or whatever the situation may be.
Awesome.
In the upcoming project.
So if a provider, any providers are on this call, have that situation that we just discussed, have a project number that you'd like to send to me, I could look at those, see if they're the same, for one, and then we could pass that information along. It looks like one's in there in the chat already. So
just got one.
Perfect. I kind of another question along the same lines with this would be, if the provider sends in adjustment claims for these rate changes, should they also, or is it common that they would also be receiving recoupment letters if they've already requested that those claims be reprocessed for the correct rates?
So if the recovery was started prior to getting those new claims or updated claims, it's possible you'll still get a letter. I would still recommend disputing the letter so we can stop those claims on the project, rather than just reaching out to your PR rep, because when you submit a dispute, it actually holds the project. So if you could still submit the dispute just so that we know that those are in that project, if there's a rate change, that would be ideal. So that way we can review those and stop them from recouping. And then you'll actually get a notice of the decision on the dispute, saying we're either pulling the claims back or whichever the situation is.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. That's what I have for pre-submitted questions. Let me look in the chat here and see what else we got going on. Another question on L6 denials. They're continuing to have claims reprocessed that had been paid initially and then denied for L6. Is this something that is, we thought this was being taken care of with the project. Is this still something that's going through a project to get fixed, the L6 denials?
So we did add all of the codes to the exceptions list. I'm not sure if that was home health or the nursing facility, but there were a couple on the home health side that had some G codes that were missing from the exceptions. We now have those added, so we are picking those up right now. On the nursing facility side, those should all be on the exceptions list. So if it's that, if you could send examples, that would be great so we can make sure that we have all the gaps filled in and get that corrected if there is an issue.
This another question, it was actually submitted directly to me. They have homemaker services from back in January of 2020 that were reprocessed and overpaid. Are these still being worked on? We have sent a spreadsheet detailing all the claims to our provider rep, but have not had a response.
So. Yes, we are looking at the overpayments, and I believe there is a, if it was overbilled charges, what we paid, then it should be in a project already that you received letters on. If it is still below the billed charges, those we are getting from your provider rep. However, it takes us a bit of time to get an answer back over to the provider rep. I think it'll be faster going forward, but we had some catch up to do on some of those. So we will definitely get those in a project and send those out. Send out the letters, I mean.
I do have a question on COVID-19 vaccine claims being denied for reason code CL, which is no action needed, will be reprocessed after state reviews new code. Is this something you're aware of, Hillary, at all? On the vaccine
yes.
claims?
Yeah, we did find that one of our codes still had the CL denial attached to the procedure code. We have now removed that CL denial and they are reprocessing currently. So you should see payment for those any day.
Awesome. What else we got? So this provider is asking, can they type one letter and include all of the letters they have received for their different facilities that are wrong? So far, they are all have the same project number. So this sounds like maybe a multi-facility organization that has the same project number for multiple different facilities. Can they send one letter for all facilities with that same project, or how is the best way to make sure that those are all caught?
Let me double check with the recovery team on that one, and I can give you an answer back, Brandon. I just want to make sure. I think you should be able to do that, but let me just double check so that we don't have any issues on our side, and I can get that back to you.
Okay. I mean, the safest bet would be to just probably, if it's the same problem for every single facility, you could just change the facility's name and send X number of letters, I suppose. That would be the safest, but it'd be good to know if it's possible to send one letter from multiple facilities. So I'll look
yeah,
for
I think
your response.
I think it should be, but I just want to double check before I say for sure.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. I do have a couple people who maybe have said that they've sent things to their provider rep. Not sure on timing of when they sent it, but saying they're having troubles with their response. Can you maybe, Jeannie, talk about an appropriate amount of time before they should be reaching out again? And if they're maybe still not receiving a response, what their steps should be after that?
Absolutely. I'd be happy to, Brandon. And So as usual, appreciate you reaching out to your provider relations representative. They will take that information, review it, and send it on internally for review if necessary. And when we do that, we send it to our what we call our SharePoint area, which is an area in which Hillary's team has responsibility for and works those claims. We are current, I believe, on our SharePoint items at this time. There are situations where some of these items become part of projects, and those projects and information can also be reviewed on our configuration file on our website. So sometimes those projects take, configuration. There may be 30 days for configuration and an additional 30 days for processing. So there might be up to 60 days, but the representative can share that information. And we also have an avenue that Hillary has allotted with her teams that we can get that information and try and have that research done to try and give you a general idea of when those may be processed. So some things I would say that as soon as you send an email, it is my my request from my staff that they return any email or call within 48 business hours to acknowledge your information into us, whether it be by email or call. And then they will then follow up or have their on-site partner follow up to let you know the status of that information. So I can't give an overall specific, Brandon. It depends on the situation. But anytime anyone has a question as to what the status of that is, they definitely can respond back to their provider relations specialist at any time. So, Hillary, do you have any additional time frames and thoughts to share with Brendan's folks here that maybe give them a little bit better insight to timing or ETAs?
Sure. So on getting a response back over to the provider representative, we did have a backlog of issues that we were working through, and we are now up to date, like Jeannie said. The expectation on the claim side is that we're getting an answer back to the PR reps within 72 hours. And then if there's additional questions that the representative needs to ask us back, it could take some additional time. but for initial response, it's 72 hours. And then for configuration, just like Jeannie said, it's 30 days typically for regular configuration and then 30 days for the project. There is some types of configuration that take a bit longer, and usually we indicate that in our response. So if it is going to take over those 30 days for the configuration, we'll definitely put that in the response to the provider representative so that they can make you aware of the situation and the timing.
In addition to that, Hillary, thank you very much, Hillary, for sharing that. In addition, Brandon, I would like to share with the association that if you receive a claim payment, whether it be a denial or a payment that you don't agree with, that you do follow our dispute process going forward. I know historically what we have done in the past year or so is having you contact your provider relations representative, but the actual cadence we are now adhering to. So if you have a claim that you do not feel is processed correctly or denied appropriately, please follow the dispute process in the provider manual that I shared earlier.
Thanks, Jeannie and Hillary.
Of course.
Jeannie, I can't remember. Do you have anyone from UM on?
I do not. We left it last that if we had any questions, we would ask Di to join.
Okay.
But have a question, we may be able to field it here. And if not, we can certainly take it back.
Okay. So we do have one in the chat on home health prior auths. They're seeing some inconsistencies depending on who the UM nurse is that they're talking to or requesting from. Some want the medical director, nurse practitioner, physician's assistant NPI on the requesting line, and some want the home health agency's NPI on the requesting line, and they're just seeking some clarification on which one is accurate, I suppose. And their understanding was that the agency, the home health agency, would be both the requester on the requesting and providing lines for that service. So that's the gist. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that at all.
I think we're going to have to take that one back.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, the best thing to do would be to question it when they're making that call at that particular time. DIA is always open to have questions, when they are doing those. And they can always contact the case manager for questions as well. But we will take that back and get a response for you, Brandon.
And there's a request for my provider representative contact info, which I am getting right now. That is now in the chat for the individual who had asked for that contact information. Question from Jan. If claims were originally submitted in 2020 and resubmitted, but still have not been paid, who would the contact person be?
So you could reach out to your provider relations representative. They will get that over to claims for us to review. We are reviewing all of the claims for nursing facilities, ICFID, any type of facility that's impacted by client participation for rates and incorrect CP amounts, underpayments, overpayments, incorrect denials, all of those things. So we are reviewing those right now. We are going to have the project in by the 18th. So the payment could be expected around the 20th of July.
Thanks, Hillary.
And then after that project, if you still have outstanding claims, make sure you're sending them to your provider relations rep so that we can address them.
Awesome. Thank you. This is a question on the claim reconsideration button on the website and whether it's working or not. They said previously there had been issues with it and they'd been advised not to use it until that was fixed. So just to follow up on that.
I think it is, Hillary. I'm gonna jump to see if Tony Weicher can weigh in on this. Tony, do you know? I believe it was.
I've not heard any issues with it working recently. So, I mean, I've heard of providers working very today.
Yeah, I know on the claim side, we are getting some reconsiderations. So it is working as far as I know.
This question is asking about if the void is working on the website. They said they've submitted something about 30 days ago, a void, and it has not been done yet.
I haven't heard any issues with this previously, but this might be one that, Tony, we have to take back because I haven't heard anything until now.
Yeah, I mean, if you can share a claim number example, that would be for us to research. It's not something that we've heard of before. So, I mean, typically if there's any kind of issues like that, the best course would be to reach out to your provider relations rep with your claim number examples. That way they can submit it to our claims team for research. But if you do have a claim number handy, you can pop that in the chat. We can take that away as well. Yeah, it's not something we've been advised of not working.
Laura, if you do have a claim number, you can either put that in the chat or if you need to look for it, you can send it to me and I can pass it along to these ladies to look into.
I did just get an update on that behind the scenes crack team here. Shares with me that the void button has not been working and that is part of a global issue at this time. So more to come.
Well, there you go. There's your answer.
There we go. See?
Good to know.
At your service right here. But, you know, if we do have those examples, that would be great. So if you could submit those in, that'll help us as well to identify any additional problems with that. So please do send in those examples.
So then I guess that leaves the question which Laura asked as how do we get claims voided then? What's the best route to do that?
So you can resubmit your claim with the type of bill with the 8 in the last position. If you're billing on a 1500, which I don't think many of you would be, in that, I can't remember the name of the box, but where you would say if it's a corrected claim or a voided claim, you would put an 8 in that box on a 1500 claim. But for UB, it's just put an 8 in the last position of the bill type.
Maybe box 22.
Yes.
They are using claim software in a clearinghouse, but it would not work if they do all of their through the provider portal. So I think if providers are using the provider portal only, they just need to wait. And, you know, we'll come out with a provider alert, some information about it. We'll work with your rep with claim numbers of examples so we can keep line of sight to it. But otherwise, for those providers that are using a clearinghouse and claim software, you can use that voided occurrence code.
I have another question on L6 for home care, asking if there's still an open project for those denials. They still have claims outstanding that have not been reprocessed, and I just had a paid claim taken back and denied with the L6 denial code as well. I know we talked about this a little bit. So there is an open project on L6 currently then? Is that right, Hillary?
Yes, there is. We were missing some of those G codes on the exceptions list, so we got those added in, and we are reprocessing any remaining claims.
Okay. I currently don't see any more questions in the chat at this point. I'll give it another minute and I'll check my email quick. Sometimes I get some questions through there. So this is another question on authorizations. I feel like we maybe had this at the beginning, like back in July of 19, talking about submitting documents to the portal and it only allowing smaller size documents. And obviously with the amount of information that's probably needing to be submitted with these auths, they're not able to submit everything within the size requirements. Has there been any other consideration? For some reason, I was thinking that it was increased at one point, but I guess it's sounding like from Terry here that it's maybe still not large enough. Is there any other considerations for increasing that, or is that another die question?
We'd probably go the die route.
Okay.
Yep. And, we also, Justin will be joining us shortly if we have any EVV/CareBridge questions. So he will be joining us shortly. Brandon.
Okay. Well, we may wrap up before then, actually. But
okay. Well, do we have, I can let him know ahead of time. Are there any EVV or CareBridge questions that we need Justin to jump on for? Does anyone have any? Okay, I'll let him know he's off the hook this week.
I will say that we do expect some additional information from the department to come out soon regarding EVV for AL and RCF providers. So hold tight. There should be some additional information or new information coming out from them soon on that. Seeing no more questions, I'll give you all about 27 minutes back before we jump on our Amerigroup call, which starts at 11:30. So thanks again to our participants from Iowa Total Care, Hillary, Jeannie, and Tony. And we will join back up again probably in a month. So okay. Have a good rest of your week.
All right. Thanks so much, Brandon.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.